welcome to episode 126 of
Brutal Bad Hole.
Yeah, it's Mike again.
Hello.
Back in this place. I always get pretty excited when Mike comes because, unsolicited, the man brings gifts.
You got to. I'm getting to drink all his beer. I'm going to bring him a bottle of beer.
And it should be worth it. It should be a good trade with what I have slated for the warm-up today, hopefully in Mike's mind. Should be a good one. But first, we must do a little something we call the hop knowledge. And today, we're going to be looking at a Styrian Golding hop, one I've actually heard of, don't know too much about, but Styrian Golding hops. Let's see. Also called Savinia Golding. It's a traditional hop grown primarily in Slovenia and also Austria. It's not of the Golding heritage. Instead, Styrian Golding is a form of Fuggle hop and carries much of its attributes.
Not a big fan of the Fuggle hops.
Those are more, I think, in like English style beers.
Yep.
Yeah. More malty aspects.
Mm-hmm. Very like herbaceous.
Yeah. This variety was the major hops crop for Styria, Austria. Styria, which was an Austrian state bordering Slovenia in the 1930s as powdery mildew made its impact on other varieties from that area. Styrian Golding hops, mainly for aroma, and it has low alpha acid contents between 4.5% to 6%, which is low as far as alpha acids go. Its well-established traditional variety offers a delicate bitterness with a distinctive flavor and aroma. So it's very good for finishing additions. It also says it's versatile and is used throughout the world. It's an early yielding plant ranging from 1,150 to 1,500 pounds per acre, which is good for a natural variety from the region. The medium compact cones are harvested early in the season, and Styrian Golding comes equipped with natural resistance to downy mildew. This helped to shape its success in the last century. Fuggle varieties, including those grown in the United States, are going to make a good substitute if you have some on hand. However, Styrian Golding is available on the marketplace, apparently. So I'm going to pick two examples of some breweries that have used this. We have Flying Fish Brewing Company, used it in their Farmhouse Summer Ale, as well as Fault Line Brewing used it in their Belgian Abbey Ale. So there are some examples of the Styrian Golding. Mike, how have you been?
I've been great. Had a killer August. September's rolling through pretty good so far. Now it's just taking it day by day now that I'm back at work.
No lie, this guy just told me recently he was just in Trinidad shooting off fireworks.
Correct. Free trip down there, free housing, free food, and a nice big envelope full of cash to go home with. Shh, don't tell the tax man. He don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's always up to something, pretty much. He was in Kentucky checking out the beers from Against the Grain.
Buying a barrel of bourbon for the liquor store I work for, Wine World. So
that's important.
I had a really good month of August.
What are you doing with that barrel, by the way?
Well, they're going to bottle it up for me and ship me all the bottles and the empty barrel. I'm going to take that empty barrel and go to one of my local breweries and be like, I want this beer put in it for X number of time. And then can you keg it up for me? And then it's going to go on tap at my growler station.
So that's really an exclusive for
Correct.
Your liquor store. That's awesome. I love that. That's a great idea.
Yep.
Well,
buy a bottle of bourbon and the beer that was aged in that same barrel.
That's super kick-ass. Well, I want to talk some more about what you've been into beer-wise, what you've been drinking, liking, whatever. But first of all, let's see if you like the warm-up beer.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I'm sure. So what we have for the warm-up beer is a beer by Surly Brewing. I'm a big fan of Surly. I typically like all their stuff that
I've
had.
Never had anything from them, but I've heard remarkable things about them.
The problem is you cannot get Surly in Maryland,
Correct.
Typically. This is thanks to Andrew Peavy, a buddy of mine, who sent it. He and I just go back and forth with beers to one another from time to time. So he sent this, and he's like, you gotta. He's like, you've got to try this. This beer is really good. It's called Todd the Axeman. It's an IPA by Surly, 7.2% alcohol by volume, and it's done with Citra and Mosaic hops. And it's called the Axeman because it has to do with this guy named Todd, the head brewer at Surly, and a metal guitarist named Todd Haig or Hogg. So they collaborated with a brewery, Amager Brewery, Amager, I guess, out of Denmark, and the name came out of it because the Axe Man.
A-M-A-R-K?
A-M-A-G-R.
Okay.
Amager. I know Amager recently did a collaboration with Jester King as well,
that
out of Texas.
It sounded like it was that first Denmark brewery that might have done the collaboration with Against the Grains, the big Kentucky sausage fest I was telling you about.
Well, that's possible. Yes. He was telling me about the big Kentucky sausage fest before we started recording.
And, yep, it is the exact same brewery that collaborated with him.
Oh, it's Amager. Okay. Or Amager, or however you want to say it. Either way. All right, well, there's a little more left in the can currently, but here's something to start with. I'm sure you'll go through that pretty quick. The coloration, it's very deep orange, hazy, too. You can barely see through it. I'm assuming that's from all the totally destroyed hops in there, just liquefied hops.
The nose is amazing. You just get that straight citra, right? Oh.
Yeah, the citra is super strong in this, but you also get that kind of caramelly aspect from Mosaic hops in the nose. But it is... I think as far as IPAs go, the brightness is ridiculous in the aroma. You already took a sip.
Solid, solid beer.
Yeah, I'd say it's more than solid in my opinion. It is killer.
7.2%, very respectable too.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. It's almost like you have to chew it.
Mm-hmm.
It is so thick with the hoppiness in your mouth that it's like you have to chew a little bit of that. And I love that with my IPAs and Imperial IPAs.
Have good body to it.
Oh, amazing body.
But you don't really find this much body with just a straight IPA. You usually have to go to the double Imperial route to get that.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it comes in a tall boy pint can and not a little 12-ounce can.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the 4 extra ounces.
Yeah. Pounders, perfect for me. Love Pounders, man.
Yep.
When almost a beer and a half is what you're really looking for. You don't want to do two. You don't want to do one. It's right there on the sweet spot. So this, so much citrus in there. You really taste the citra. You really taste the Mosaic with that kind of caramelly velvetiness that comes out of Mosaic hops, in my opinion. And Citra is, like, very well showcased, but great, great beer. You down?
I'm down.
And this is your first Surly, so correct. I think this is a good introduction.
I have popped my Surly cherry.
And it was good. It was tender. It laid you down very sweetly. It
wasn't too rough.
No. Thank you for doing that for him, Surly. Mm. Yeah, it's a great beer. But while we sip on this and chit-chat about things, I'd like to know what you're into these days as far as beers go. What are you getting in? What are you trying?
Alpine finally became available to us in Maryland. Unfortunately,
yes.
They've just been sending us draft right now.
Right.
No bottles, but I've been drinking a lot of the Alpine Duet, their IPA, and that is just another really nice, well-made, clean, easy-drinking IPA.
Yeah, they make a lot of really good IPAs. They make a lot of IPAs in general.
Yep.
That's kind of like their thing.
It's hot style right now.
Oh, yeah. But they, I don't know. Are they going to actually start distributing bottles this far?
Not anytime soon from what I'm understanding. They will eventually ship bottles to Maryland, but I haven't gotten an actual time frame on when they're coming.
I'm assuming that the reason they're actually in Maryland right now on draft is because of their... acquisition by Green Flash.
Mm-hmm. I would probably assume the same. I didn't get a definite, but yeah, I would assume the same thing.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing, I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, they were so small. Like, their distribution was really small. So I don't know what this outreach is like for them right now, because are they just able to send, like, a keg here, a keg there? Because I would think that their production hasn't increased all that much since the acquisition. It was just, like, months ago, wasn't it?
I've only had to order 2 kegs from them so far. I've had no problem getting them in stock. So, and I'm wondering if they're specifically why they're sending draft to Maryland is maybe they're sending packaged goods to another state that they just opened up, and they don't want to spread themselves thin and be like, okay, well, here's your first shipment. Got to wait 3-4 months for your next shipment. So this way they can kind of feed the pipeline a little better by, hey, we're going to give you draft here, and then we're going to give you bottles over here, and we're just going to spread the love a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it could be a situation where they find that they have like a little bit extra that they don't need to throw into their current markets, and they can be like, okay, Green Flash, distribute this somewhere, like a keg here and there to throw it out there, get people excited about the product.
Get people asking for more.
Right, and then eventually when they can expand their production, they can already have the excitement out in those areas, the demand going, and then they'll be like, oh, guess what? Here's more kegs, or here's some bottles finally, and then people just start gobbling it up pretty much, which I know you probably will.
Oh, yeah. No, I've gone through 5-6 growlers of the Duet so far. I'm talking about 64-ounce growlers. I don't mess around with those 32s.
I know. I think we talked about that one time when you were on here. The 32s are not enough for you.
No. They've got like 2 beers in there. It's like, come on now. I need like 4 growlers just to get my fill in for one night.
I'm actually the opposite. I'd rather go with the 32 because typically when I'm getting a beer, it's higher ABV like that. And, you know, Rebecca will tell you all the time, we have so much beer in this house that if I'm getting something, it's because it's kind of limited.
Or you just want to try it.
Yeah, so 32 is what is best. Plus, I don't drink a ton at a time, so, you know, a 32-ounce might last me 2 nights or something. And I just don't want to have to, like, electrical tape it and have it sit around for some time and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's just, yeah. But what else have you been enjoying? Or actually, well, here's a quick question. I'm sorry to derail it. What up with Founders? Are they coming to Maryland finally, or like what's the deal?
I've been hearing rumors that yes, they are coming. Supposedly they're with Bond, but as it was like with Bell's, I'm not believing it. I'm not really putting it out there till I hear the contract is signed, get in contact with Bond's craft beer buyer and go, is this true or not? And then when he comes back with a yes or no, that's when I believe. Because you hear these rumors all the time. So until I know those contracts are signed, I get the word from the craft beer buyer at the distributor that says, yes, we are going to be carrying it. This is our release date. I don't fully believe it.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I know a lot of people have said where Bell's goes, Founders goes.
Mm-hmm. And that's usually the case in most other state marketplaces.
Well, I've been hoping that's what it is. And I had actually emailed Founders some months ago, I think it was back in May, maybe April, May, and was like, hey, you know, what's going on? Because I'd seen a press release saying that they might come to Maryland. So I contacted them and they had said, yeah, we are coming to Maryland. And they said, we're hoping for summertime. Well, summer's over.
Yep.
I don't see the beers because, to be honest, I'm yearning for that time when I can just go and pick up breakfast stout whenever I want it, because that's a killer stout.
I hate to, when it first comes out, there's probably going to be a pretty high demand for it, so it's going to be a little hard to get.
Well, yeah, and
I can shoot you a text message to let you know right when it comes in, so you get the inside track.
Well, I would imagine, too, that when they open up finally in Maryland, it's going to be a very limited amount that's coming in,
probably,
because they still need to supply everyone else, so fledgling markets won't get as much, but I was actually saying to Rebecca just last night, we have one bottle of breakfast out that's just been sitting in the fridge, and it just keeps sitting there because it's like,
when do I open this?
Right, if you drink it, then I don't have any more. I can't get any more. I mean, I can get it in Pennsylvania if I cross the line, but that's a ways to go.
Yeah.
But so we're just kind of like, when's the right time? And I said to her last night, I looked at it when I opened the fridge and I was like,
should I pull the trigger or should I not?
Well, I didn't, but I was like, I want the day when I can look at a breakfast out in the fridge and say, I can just drink this right now, because if I want,
I can go down to the store and get some more.
I can get it tomorrow. I can get it tonight. Whenever. But Founders, hurry it up, man. I mean, I want to make sure you make the right decisions and do things properly, but how about this? Let's make a deal. You guys are late showing up. You told me the summer. How about in exchange for being late, you send some KBS to Maryland in the first year you're here? How about it?
That would be a nice deal.
Let's do it.
Especially if you send it all to Wine World, that'd be a really awesome deal.
And if you're really cool, I mean, maybe a little Backwoods Bastard, too. Mm. A little Backwoods Bastard.
Can't argue with that. Heck, I'll take the regular Dirty Bastard. That's a solid, solid Scotch ale.
Honestly, just one case of each of those to Wine World in Abingdon, Maryland.
Whoa, 2 cases, because I want a case each myself. Okay.
2 cases of each, and Mike will have a case of each of them that he'll keep. I'll take a little bit out of each of the other cases, and we'll distribute some more to
other
people.
Make sure they go to good people, though.
Because people can buy singles here.
Correct.
We can do that. Wine World does that, so We'll share the love. We'll spread it. Most likely, I'd have those beers on the podcast to share with people, much like I'm sharing the Surly here. So a lot of people would benefit. And, you know, Founders, you'd get a lot of airtime out of this podcast, I feel like, with the KBS and the Backwoods Bastard. I'm serious. I'm going to send this to the people at Founders sure. to see if they pick up on this and they're like, yeah, we'll send it to Maryland.
Hint, hint.
Yeah. I don't expect them to because, hey, they got bigger things to deal with, but you never know unless you ask, right?
Sure. Answer's always no until you ask, so.
Exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, glad to have you on. I always like to get your insight with the beers. I always like when you embarrass me because you get through your beers so much faster than me.
You got to remember, though, I'm a manager of a liquor store. Like I say, I'm a professional drinker.
Do you taste like everything that comes in, by the way?
Not everything, no. I taste majority of products. Just about all the whiskeys, all the IPAs, the beer styles I like, yeah. I make sure I try them before I bring them in. Now, when you're talking about like the pumpkin beers, the sour beers, I don't try those at all because they're not my cup of tea. I check my reviews on like Great Beer on tap, take a look at what people are saying about it, how popular it is, and then I decide on if I bring it in or how much of it I bring in.
I gotta find a way to get you into the sours because I think you would be so happy with sours if I could get you into them.
I say good luck to that. I welcome the challenge, but I say good luck to that.
The other thing is I need to appeal to you about bringing the brewery beers into Wine World.
I've tried.
Their sours are great. Oud Tart and Ruse.
Yeah, they're just so expensive, and with the labeling on them, they just don't sell that well, and they'll just sit around where generally... You know, out of a couple of them, I'll be able to sell them before they go out of date. But then there's a couple of them that I'll have half a case to a quarter of a case left that it went out of date, and I'm not going to sell beer out of date. So it usually ends up getting trashed.
Well, that's kind of the issue that we have here in Maryland is it's still pretty much a fledgling craft beer market. So a lot of people are looking at labels and going off that. If it has an exciting label, they'll purchase it.
Right, popping labels, colorful pictures, funny names.
So I know I don't know if you were, but I know Friendship Liquors was having problems moving Firestone Walker because they had very plain labels for a while, on their bigger format bottles.
Firestone Walker, I never really had a problem moving one. That's one that I've always been a big drinker of that one, so that's one I push and got a lot of customers hooked on and turned to.
What about Maine Beer Company?
Maine Beer Company, the problem with them is not the fact that you can't sell them in time, because you could if you could get them in with enough time. By the time they get from Maine to the distributor, and they're not pasteurized or anything like that, so they have a very short shelf life already, and you have to keep them cold, I'm generally lucky if I have a week to 2 weeks to sell them before they go out of date.
That's
one of the reasons why I started bringing more of their kegs in to go on the growler station and forget their bottle format, because the kegs are much better and they're easy to last longer than the bottles are.
Interesting. Their Mean Old Tom is awesome.
Even their Peeper. I love their Peeper.
I've not had the Peeper.
It's like a pale ale. It's delicious.
I'll have to try that. And then my last question I had that just popped into my head. 6 Point. I know you were having problems with 6 Point moving it.
Correct.
But now they started putting the styles on there.
And now it's moving much better.
I knew it.
Yep, you are correct.
Freaking knew it.
When my distributor came back to me, he's like, hey, I want to talk to you about 6 Point. I'm like, the beer that doesn't move because nobody knows what it is. He's like, hold on. And he shows me a picture of all the new packaging. He's like, look, they listened to you all. They started putting it on the packaging. I'm like, all right, bring them back in. Let's give them a try again.
And it's selling fine.
Correct.
Oh, great. Well, their resin is a great
Imperial
IPA.
I love the resin.
Resin's really good. High res when it comes out is really good. And I just got recently from your store, 4 Beans, which is a really good stout. Or, I'm sorry, Imperial Porter. Very good. Basically a stout anyway, but
you know, they've always made great beer. It's just the packaging beforehand would just be the crisp.
The problem
is Bengali Tiger, and you'd have no idea what the beer is inside. Yeah. So it scared a lot of people that weren't familiar with the brewery off right away. Yeah.
The problem is most people aren't gonna look up beers and figure out what they are. They want it to be right in front of their face telling them. So yeah. But anyway, thanks for all the insight there.
Anytime.
We'll have some other interesting stuff to talk about on another episode. But it's important for us to get to the mystery beers, which have been sitting here. What does A look like to you?
A is a nice amberish copper color.
Mm-hmm.
Nice
it's got
and
nice
clear.
Orangey.
Yeah, there's no real haze to it.
Yeah, no, it's very, very clear. Some very small bubbles coming up from the bottom, just slightly.
Has a strong malt nose to it, though.
Ooh, yeah, it's pretty malty. Very, very malty, actually. I get mainly all malt.
Yeah.
Earthy, super, super earthy.
Like, I get a little chocolate from the malt, but I'm getting no hop aromas, nothing.
I don't know if I get any chocolate, but what am I getting? Get a little bit of an apple-y type note in the nose. A little bit of, like, a honey. Yeah, mainly just, like, malt. What you would associate with malt smell.
Like, it smells sugary. Like a porter or a stout, but it looks like an amber red ale.
Sugary. I mean, I'm going to try it. I don't know what this is going to be.
Interesting.
That's an easy beer.
Yeah, very crushable. There's not a lot of, like you get the malt flavor. I don't get really any hops to it. But it's a very light body, poundable beer.
There's a little bit of, like, a sweet tingle on my tongue at
right
the end of it.
On the finish, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost imparting a little bit of a lemony aspect to it. A little bit of a lemon.
I can kind of see that.
But there's so much malt, but it's clean. Like, the malt's very, very clean. It's not, like... A lot of times with beers that are kind of like this super malty, I'll get like a spent malt grain flavor, which is really just off and kind of disgusting to me. But this is not showing any of those flavors. That's solid. I mean, I don't love it, but because there's not a ton of complexity, there's not a lot going on with it. But is it a super easy beer? Yeah. Is it
that's
solid?
One, that's the one thing about it is I'm hoping the ABV on it is not too high because with how crushable this is, this could get you into some real danger if it's got like a 6.5 and up ABV on it.
Yeah. This is like one that I said on, I don't know if it was last episode or the one before that, but I was saying was very, very much a beer where you could be having a conversation with someone with it in your hand and then you're done after 5 to 10 minutes with the conversation. You look down and all the beer's gone and you don't realize that that happened because you just keep taking sip after sip after sip. Because there are a lot of beers where if you're doing that, it's slapping you each time and you're like, whoa, okay, slow down. This one, it's pretty inviting to just keep going. But, hey. So I'm inclined to go to the second beer to be. Mine has a lot of sediment in the bottom. Do you have any?
I have a little sediment down there, but I wouldn't call it a lot.
I have a lot in the bottom of mine, and it looks like real, like yeast.
Oh, yeah.
Just chilling there. Just like a bunch of yeast. I don't know.
This is darkness.
It's dark, but it's got like a reddish brown around the edges.
Oh, especially when you hold it up to the light.
Yeah. And if you swirl it up, it gets a head that's pretty tan. Not like super deep tan, it's like a medium tan. So, we'll see. This could be a type of porter or something. I don't know. I don't know. It smells fruit. It smells fruity. It smells hoppy. It smells like a Cascadian Dark Ale or Black IPA, if you will.
Ooh, there's a really nice smokiness to it on the flavor.
Oh, well, I'm still on the nose. I don't pick up smokiness in the nose.
No, I didn't until I got a sip. You get a really strong hint of smoke there, and it's not overpowering at all. It's really nice.
I get a little bit of a roasty characteristic in the nose, but I get a lot of hops jumping off it, like citrus, nice, a little bit of a tropicality. It smells good. A little bit of grapefruit in it. You already tasted. Are you getting...
Correct.
Any of that hoppy characteristic in it?
I only tried it once, and right off the bat, the smoke just hit me as prevalent there. So I'm going to have to go in for a second sip to see what I can find past the smoke.
There is a little bit of a roasty smokiness, but I don't think it's... To me, it's not hitting me really hard. I'm getting a lot of hops. I'm getting a lot of hops on this.
Well, I warned you about the smoke first. If I didn't warn you about the smoke, I bet you it would have been a whole lot more. Tim, this is one of the problems with drinking with him. He takes forever to take sips.
Well, it's for the show. It's for the listeners, you know? It's not my fault. It's their fault. No, I get a lot of hops on this. This has got to be a Black IPA or Cascadian Dark Ale, as people put it. I just like to say Black IPA, whatever. I typically get some chocolatey characteristics with these types of beers, but not getting it in this, and I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. But you definitely, yeah, you get a tad bit of a smoky characteristic. You get a little bit of a roasty malt flavor. It's interesting. It is quite interesting. I feel like now that I'm just, I don't have any in my mouth and I'm just kind of like tasting what's left, maybe get a tad bit of a licorice characteristic on the end there. But lots of hops. A lot more hops than I was expecting if it's this style I'm thinking. Because black IPAs typically have a good amount of hops to them, but not hop like this. Like, this is a lot. But it's not super bitter either.
No. Well, the malt backbone really helps balance yes. out that bitterness.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. That's pretty good. I like that. I'm down with both these beers. They're very different, though.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, it's interesting. If you then go back to A, it makes A taste even sweeter. Like, kind of sugary honey type characteristic to it. Mm. And then you go back to B, and it's like really present hop flavor on your tongue.
And now I almost want to make a black and tan with it, too. I might have to try that with my last little sips, pour
you could.
The two together.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that actually won't taste too great. But
you'd be surprised. I've made some crazy Frankenstein beers that surprisingly go pretty good. Like my Easter beer. Half Resurrection, half Duclos Sweet Baby Jesus. I call it a resurrected Sweet Baby Jesus. First made it up as a joke one Easter Sunday when I was working one day. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this tasting. Let's have these two, the perfect Easter beers. I'm like, well, let's mix them together, make a black and tan. Oh, wow. This is actually really, really good.
Huh. I'll have to remember that one because actually I want to, at some point, do a special episode where we do blends.
Drinking beers.
Yeah, just like figure out what goes well together and what doesn't, you know? Trial by error type thing. But everybody listen to Mike on that, the Sweet Baby Jesus and the Resurrection by Brewer's Art. That's right. So it pretty much have to be if you're in like Maryland or close to Maryland. Mm-hmm. So anyway. But, all right. So do you have ideas on where you want to go with these? Out of 10... You can brutal battle the score. You cannot brutal battle the score. It's your call. I actually want to try some more of this Todd. Wow. It makes those two beers and then the Todd the Axeman makes the Todd like way more bright and vibrant because these are darker, maltier.
God, I just
aspects.
Love that smell.
Yeah, it's. I can smell that all day.
Yeah. There's so much hops in this. It almost has that like sweaty armpit smell to it. But I've kind of skunky-esque, but I've learned to love that smell from the hoppy beers.
That is something that a lot of people say about Citra hops, the kind of like body odor, sweaty aspect. Yeah.
Like Oscar Blues Gubna.
Oh,
when
Gubna.
They first
so
released
good.
That, the very first batch of it, it was just way, way too much. It literally tasted like I was drinking that beer through somebody's gym sock that they have worn for 6 days straight. They since redid the formula a little bit, and it's nowhere near as off-putting.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time with this. I think I know where I want to go with one of them. The other one I'm having a little bit of a hard time with. Neither of these are blowing me away. They're both good. They're both interesting in one way or another.
There's nothing I'm going to write home about and go, oh my God, it's my new favorite beer.
I think they're pretty solid, though.
No, yeah. I drink them any day of the week if somebody handed them to me.
All right. Do you want me to lead on these or?
You go ahead. Okay.
I actually am going to be generous and go with a 4 on A because I feel like the being a very malty beer, and I'm not huge into malty beers, it really kind of surprised me and spoke to me and is a beer that I could keep going with. So I'll do 4 on that. And then I think that beer B is more preferable to me. I like that extreme level of hoppiness for that style, well, what I'm assuming is a black IPA. So I'm going to go a 5 on that one. So
I'm going to go a 3 on A, only because just the aroma is good, the taste is good. I just would like a little bit more body and a little bit more feel to it.
Okay.
When I'm drinking this, if I close my eyes, I'm like, okay, I'm drinking flavored water. I want oomph behind my beers.
I can understand that. That's cool.
All right, now let's go back to B and get a quick sip of that one. Yeah, see, B, I'm going to have to go a 5 because I just don't see quite... I see the hops where you're going, but I don't think it's as overpowering as the hops for my taste.
Okay.
I could use a little more.
So we both won a 5 on that one. 3.5 for A overall, 5 for B overall. Obviously, B is the winner of this episode. And like to see what we got. So we'll reveal A first as the loser with an overall 3.5. A is Avalanche.
Oh,
Avalanche Amber Ale.
That is surprising right there.
By Breckenridge Brewery. And Breckenridge Brewery is out of...
Colorado.
Yeah. Denver, Colorado. 4.4% alcohol by volume on that. So
nice, crushable, low-octane beer.
Yeah, you could,
as the breweries like to call it now, sessionable.
Yes, sessionable, indeed. And let's find out what this winner beer is. With an overall of 5, the winner. Oh, Vacuum Ready-Made Stillwater.
Which I want to say, I think that is a black IPA, if I remember correctly.
It's the Vacuum beer by Stillwater. I don't know what it says. Oh, yeah, black India-style black ale. Yep, black IPA. 8% alcohol.
You couldn't tell it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put it at 8 at all. No, not at all. Wow, okay. I've actually wanted to try some of the IPAs that Stillwater put out.
They make good beers.
Yeah, Stillwater makes always good beers, mm-hmm. pretty much. I don't think I've had any that I've tried and been like, I don't like this. I've just had different beers that I'm like, I don't prefer it to the other ones that Stillwater puts out. So, wow. Okay, the Vacuum. That's one I could put on my list to, have as a go-to, potentially, at some point. All right, so back in saddle with the mystery beers. How did it go? How'd you feel about this?
I like them. Now, I was actually quite surprised to see that A was Avalanche.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had Avalanche. It's been a long time, so I don't remember anything about it. But, you know, I typically think I'm not huge on ambers, but then I have...
Certain ones.
Yeah, I have certain ambers, and they're well done. And
like Nugget Nectar. So it might be an
Imperial Amber.
But it's still an Amber Ale. It's probably one of my top 5 favorite beers of all time.
Yeah, that's definitely up there for me as well. It's awesome. But anyway, thank you so much, Mike. You'll be around for at least another episode.
My pleasure, anytime. Always having fun being here on Brutal Battle.
Yeah, I think it's time for me to re-plug things again. Website, brutalbattle.com. You can send emails for anything if you have suggestions or you just want to pick our brains, see what's going on. brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Untappd. I'm Carlin Cook, C-A-R-L-I-N, and last name C-O-O-K, or Carlton Malibu, all one word. You can find me either way on Untappd. Mike, you're on Untappd as well.
Correct.
How can people find you there?
Master Jzak, M-A-S-T-A. J-Z-A-K.
Okay, there it is.
Little play on my last name, and hey, just had to throw the mast in because I'm just so awesome.
Because you're the master of beer. And then also we have Facebook. Just look for Brutal Battle on Facebook. Untappd. I'm Carlin at Brutal Battle. You can just look for at Brutal Battle. It's there. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Please, I'm going to make a plea at this point. Go on and do a rating and a review for us on iTunes because that really helps out with our visibility for people to get new listeners, and then we can have more interaction with people, which is always fun. Also do on YouTube the Brutal Battle Beer Breaks, so if you just put that in, it'll bring up, I've done 60-some episodes of that, it's just quick.
Wait, I thought YouTube was all videos.
It is a video.
You got a camera recording me somewhere without my knowledge?
Maybe I should. Maybe I am.
Well, I knew that, I would have taken the button down a little bit on my shirt. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm sure the listeners would appreciate it as well. Anyway, yeah, check out Brutal Battle Beer Break. It's just short videos of what I'm drinking in my off time. Not absolutely everything, but almost everything. So, but once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Spread the word if you like the podcast. Let everyone know that Brutal Battle is the thing to listen to, and I would appreciate that. But until next time, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.